Hello and welcome to the Mercer Germany podcast. I'm Sebastian, Senior Marketing Expert at Mercer, and today I talk to Michelle Sequeira. Michelle is our Diversity, Equity and Inclusion Consulting Leader at Mercer. She's responsible for how teams include DEI into our clients' experiences to ensure all colleagues can thrive. Michelle, welcome to today's podcast. I first heard about you when you won the title Diversity Champion of the Year at last year's European Diversity Awards. Congratulations. And that must have been a really exciting and wonderful moment for you, I imagine. Would you like to tell our listeners a little bit more about you? And also, I am curious to know a little bit more about you. What is your background and what drove you to DEI, actually? And also, what is your current role when it comes to this topic?
Absolutely. Thank you. And thank you for having me. Really excited to be here. So I lead our DEI consulting offering here at Mercer. I am a Portuguese national of Indian heritage, and I grew up in Dubai. And if you think of the melting pot, whether that be gender, race and ethnicity, my age profile, and indeed the areas in which I grew up, it led for exposures to differences in how my family were being treated, differences to how my friends were being treated. Then very early on, I realized I just really need to do something about it, you know. And I am a psychologist by background, so I tried my hand at youth and career advice. I tried my hand at a few other things, and I found the best way to ensure that the colleagues of our clients can thrive was through the consulting route. Therefore, I chose Mercer. The award was fantastic. I still don't know who nominated me. We do this work in DEI not for awards and recognition, but I think winning that as highly commended really recognizes the hard work put in by my team for all of those clients to ensure that their colleagues can thrive. So super excited about that. And the work that we do, it's a great mission to be on to ensure that people thrive.
Thank you very much, Michelle. And it's wonderful to have you here. And I'm excited to hear more. And coming from Dubai and now living in the UK, it's probably given you a lot of insights about DEI and also how it varies from globally and from country to country. And I'm curious to hear that. And I'm sure our listeners would love to know too. What's your idea of what DEI is and how does it vary from country to country or region to region according to your experience?
Absolutely. So when we talk about DEI, there are three lenses, right? So the first is diversity. And often we're talking about that being the objective lens. Ultimately, do we represent the communities within which we are working, but also within which we are serving? Do our organizations have the right representation? And if not, why not, right? How do we change it in the next few years? The second lens is inclusion. So often organizations will start with trying to get diversity right, and then sometimes we forget the other two aspects. So the second lens is around the employee lens. How do we ensure that we are fostering belonging? Do we have, as organizations, the right culture and the right environment for people to experience that sense of psychological safety, that sense of belonging and authenticity? And then the third facet is equity. And I think this is where organizations and indeed countries are less mature in. Once we've got the other two, it's really now thinking about the business lens of designing to ensure the right access. So often we talk about here, does an organization have the right programs and the right policies to deliver on equality of opportunities, experience, and pay. And we can dive a little bit more into that shortly. But I think if, as an organization, if we were to get all three right, then indeed, you know, we are being a little bit more successful. To your question around country differences, I think there are a couple of things here. Firstly, what is legal to collect from a data standpoint varies. And therefore, each country might have a different emphasis. So for example, if I think to the UK, we can collect race and ethnicity. But if I think to Germany or to France, that, you know, that is not something that you are able to collect. But instead, we can be looking at nationality. So, you know, there are different emphases. There are different laws in different countries, the back of that. equity as a term is not even recognized in some countries altogether, right? So we do need to account for different maturity levels and different emphases. But I do believe that irrespective of those maturities, within countries and within our organizations, there is so much more that we can be progressing to ensure that the diversity that every human being has can allow for people to thrive. There's a saying that I often use by Dr. Lorraine Kaminsky: I am not different from you, I am different like you. And there, you know, and that really encompasses the fact that it's not just age and race and ethnicity and gender, you know, every human being is different. Even twins are different. And we need to be able to allow for all of these differences to thrive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's very, very interesting indeed. Thank you so much for explaining about the three facets and about the different maturities that and aspects that DEI has in different countries and in different cultures. Now, if you look at DEI on a company level, what do you think are the biggest challenges and what are the according priorities for firms in DEI?
Yeah, of course. If I start from challenges, I think there are a couple there. The first is a lack of resources. Many organizations have or still have HR prioritizing diversity, equity, and inclusion. And often they don't necessarily have DEI resource attached to it. So it's a generalist HR person that would be leading the charge there. And often for true success, we need the business to own it, not just HR. And then the second challenge, or perhaps area that doesn't necessarily lead to true success, is organizations tend to focus on attraction only, bringing in that diversity into the firm, as opposed to actually then thinking about promotion and retention and culture and equity. You know, so I think true success is becoming a little bit more holistic in our approaches. So if I then just turn to priorities a little bit, I truly believe it is important to be intentional in the initiatives an organization puts forward, but for it to also be evidence-based. So I really believe in having a data-led DEI strategy. Most recently, our 2023 Global Talent Trends Pulse results have just released, and upholding DEI is the third most critical after looking or after focusing on culture and enabling new ways of working, whether that be flex or hybrid. And that is already a good sign, right? If the C-suite and HR have put that in the top three, we are winning. What I'm seeing as the priorities there, not just from the research, but also from our clients, is there's a real need to go beyond gender. And 48% of organizations are indeed taking action to ensure the workforce profile reflects the markets that they are operating in. And to that, I think, you know, there is a real need to be thinking about the value proposition an organization is providing to employees and making it as inclusive as possible, ensuring that there is pay equity, ensuring there is career equity. So that is priority one. Priority or area number two is caring about the moments that matter. So this is sort of building on that inclusive value proposition. There's a real need for organizations to be thinking about, for example, from a well-being perspective, having inclusive benefits for everybody. And from a research perspective, 38% of organizations have plans to expand their benefits to be more supportive of all the segments of the workforce. And then the third area I would say is really more on that culture piece and ensuring that people feel comfortable to bring their authentic self to work. From a data point of view, and you might see from this podcast, I do love my data. 90% of organizations are looking to maximize workforce energy, and they're looking to do this by really focusing on that culture piece. One of the things at DEI perspective, I believe, is super important in culture is to focus on the capabilities, and particularly starting from the top. So we are seeing a lot of organizations work on inclusive leadership journeys, not just one-off programs, but, you know, holistic events, year-long events to truly embed the right behaviors and learning and indeed their culture within the organization.
Sounds good. And now my next question, how would Mercer support in these priorities? You know, what does Mercer do for companies who want to take DEI seriously and move ahead?
Absolutely. The good news is we would support across everything, right? So our typical approach would be to understand that current state. As I said, it's always beneficial to have an evidence base and understanding where an organization's gaps may be or the biases in the processes is super important to therefore suggest alternatives to it. Typically, we would look at three facets when we think about a current state analysis, and that could be understanding the employee experience, looking at your policies and practices, and indeed the workforce data as well. But that's the one facet of that current state gap analysis. We would also help organizations, you know, build out that longer term DEI strategy, or indeed their year-on-year action plans to help make that a reality. I am a strong believer in what gets measured and indeed rewarded gets done. So any strategy that we would help with needs to have strong metrics to hold people accountable for it. But then we also help on the implementation side. And that could be, you know, culture change. It could be change management. You know, it could even be down to redesigning, you know, performance management frameworks or drafting policies. We help with the whole suite of offerings, which makes my role very, very interesting. Never a day goes by where it's the same as the other.
Thank you. Great. And are there any best-in-class examples we all can look up to? Is there anything, you know, that you've learned during the consulting of so many firms across various countries?
Yes. So one of the key things I think of as true success is when you embed diversity, equity, and inclusion into the DNA of an employee experience. And just to give you an example, a British multinational consumer goods organization was really leading the way when they revisited their whole employee experience. For example, they took away or removed bias from the recruitment process. They utilized blind CVs to remove the requirement for university, you know, specific degrees, for sports as well. They reworked flexible working even before the pandemic, really utilizing data to show that actually people were more productive when they worked odd hours around their work, you know, around their life, when they worked autonomously as well. The same firm revisited their value proposition on their workforce as well, such that older workers were given provisions that suited them, their needs better, so they could transition to a reduced hours if they wanted. They had different benefits that they could choose from. And that was, you know, that was a key example of an organization that enabled their workforce to thrive. And off the back of it, the return on investments was profound.
Wow. Very cool. Very cool. And that really sounds like a win-win situation for companies and employees who truly endorse DEI. Do you have any more examples for us? This has whetted my appetite. Can you give us and our listeners some ideas about the practical steps needed to improve DEI in an organization?
Yes, of course. So one of the other organizations I think is a good one here to then also break down the steps is a tech firm was very heavily male represented, and they had reports of gross misconduct and harassment in a specific location. And apart from the typical, as you would expect, legal review, this organization also thought, actually, we really need to focus on our workplace and our culture to ensure that this doesn't happen again, to ensure that we, you know, they could drive the right behaviors. The steps that they took off the back of that might be helpful to consider. So first was understanding or having a diagnosis of what is going wrong and where might they need to prioritize. That was within stakeholder interviews to identify leadership priorities, to think about global culture and indeed attitudes. An employee voice or employee perspective through digital focus groups to understand those employee experiences and where might there be barriers. And indeed a data analysis to see, well, where might employees be leaving the organization or where might there be opportunities to change that workforce representation. So that was step number one. Off the back of that, there was an action planning phase where through workshops, there were four priorities that were identified. One of the key priorities was around psychological safety. Employees felt a lack of psychological safety and indeed trust in leadership. And this lack of trust was partly driven by this perception that leaders might listen, but then they might not necessarily take action to make change. There were policies and processes that were often leading to different outcomes. There were bias. So male and female employees were getting different outcomes. And indeed, the culture needed to change as well, not just from that local country perspective, but at a global level. Off the back of that, and the not just the priorities, but then the initiatives that were set, there was lots of progress that was made, right? So the diagnosis was then broadened to a few other locations. Employee engagement increased significantly. And they even had, I believe it was around 70 ambassadors that then joined these four project teams to really make a true change initiative. So, you know, having that structure and indeed basing it on evidence of things that would be important for the employees and be impactful, I believe really makes a difference.
That sounds like a huge step forward for this company and actually a reshaping of the DNA almost of the company, which is sounded like it was overdue. I'm sure there was resistance, though, and I'm curious to know what were the challenges you encountered on the way?
Yes, that's a really good question. And I often think that the biggest challenge sometimes is to mindset. Often in the DEI space, clients and indeed leaders, they want change and they want it really quickly. But for anything that is DEI or culture specific, it takes time. Behavior change takes a long time to embed. And I think it was important for us to help change that mindset for this organization to truly have the impact. And for any organization that is listening to this, it's just something to bear in mind that if you are doing anything DEI specific, it needs to be sustainable over a few years to truly see that difference.
Thank you. And turning away from organizations for a moment, what can each one of us do to move the organization forward, the individual, from C-level down to the individual contributors?
Yeah, there is so much, right? I often say change is up to all of us, and it's across all levels, right? As an overall, I would say each individual needs to understand our own biases. We all have them, we're human. And then we really need to work hard to unlearn those biases. And that takes time. But ultimately, every move that we can make to do that will help us start to treat people a little bit more equitably.
Absolutely. And I assume that in an organization, different roles or functions have different ways of and responsibilities maybe of creating impact. And what can you tell our listeners about this? I would suggest we start at the top. How about the C-suite and the senior leadership team? What can they contribute? What do they need to do to lead on DEI?
Absolutely. I always believe starting from the top is super important. So thank you. As C-suite and senior leadership, I do believe it's important to understand the company data. And fair enough, let's do it at a high level, but let's understand what your employee voice is like. What are your employees actually saying? It is so important to ensure that DEI strategy is truly aligned to the business strategy and indeed their individual role. You know, each person has to be accountable for something. The second thing I would think is super important as senior leaders is to be vocal change leaders. There is huge amount of impact when leaders speak authentically about both where their company is and what they're doing about it, where there might be, you know, roadblocks or where they might be a little bit slower, but also where they can speak authentically about their own personal experiences. And to that end, there's a huge piece around holding themselves accountable and being transparent about it. But But then the third aspect to that is senior leaders have this huge opportunity to bring people up with them. And whether that be through supporting others or you know, even more formal sponsorship and mentoring or reverse mentoring, I think there's a huge opportunity there to be able to lead on.
Bring people up. I really like that. That's a very important thought, I think. And I guess now if we look at it again, next in line are the line managers, if you pardon the pun. How about them? How do you see their roles?
I believe line managers are super important, right? I often talk about them being the make or break of an employee relationship, as that's the person that you always, you know, you go to if you have an issue or even if you have good news, you know, they should be that first person. So I do believe they're super important. Mercer's recent report in collaboration with Reba found that managers often, though, they lag a little bit, or actually they lag far behind when it comes to everyday practice, you know, having the right conversations and particularly factors around DEI.
Right, right. And REBA, if I may interrupt, stands for Reward and Employee Benefits Association. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right. Mercer collaborates really strongly with them to write a number of articles, whether that be linked to ESG or indeed this one's around DEI. And to that end, right, I do believe the role of managers has changed drastically from just sharing information to with their team to actually owning a little bit about the relationship at work or the experience at work. There is a need to understand that managers are indeed crucial to cascade the company principles and all of those behaviors that we've just discussed that leaders need to be doing, but they also need to translate values into everyday practices that they need to advocate, they need to lean in for. There is lots of research to suggest that the experiences and the relationships between managers and different cohorts varies drastically. And if I can just give you some examples and some data to bring that to life a little bit. Mercer has a really big employee engagement team that deals with 8 billion employee data points, you know, each year. And these are some cuts specifically from the European cohort. Black employees are 8% less favorable compared to white employees when they rate the item, "My manager treats employees fairly." Hispanic employees are 5% less likely to feel their manager recognizes when they do a good job compared to their white colleagues. And if I take a gender perspective, women score 5% less favorable compared to men on the item, "There is minimal favoritism where I work when it comes to distribution of work and promotions." So, you know, and there are many others which I could share, but I think, you know, it's important to understand, irrespective of the demographic you're looking at, the experiences are different. The relationships with our managers are different. And so it's more important than ever to ensure that what our policies say, but also then the practices that our managers do have alignment. So what I might say, if you are a manager listening to this, understand your teams, understand the, you know, where there might be bias in the processes, where there might be bias as you as a human, and do your utmost best to be as inclusive, as equitable as possible, be on top of the support options that you can provide to all of your colleagues to ensure that ultimately they all can thrive.
Very interesting thoughts. And it sounds to me like the line managers are almost the key to ensuring that DEI principles and processes are, which are defined, you know, top down, but are finding their way into the daily business. And that's, I'm sure, not an easy task. How about every one of us, though? What do you think we can do?
100%. I'm a firm believer that we all have a part to play in this. I often think back to a TED talk I listened to a while ago by a person called Drew Dudley. And he talks about everyday leadership. And it's a fantastic, it's a 5-minute video where he talks about lollipop moments and how he back in the day had influenced somebody and he didn't even realize it. So my key message here is that, each of us are leaders, irrespective of where we sit in an organization, and each of us impacts those around us, whether we even realize it or not. So I do think that it is imperative that we as individuals challenge each other respectively. If you hear something that doesn't sit right with you, try to understand, have a chat with that person to understand what the intention was behind it. Let's be respectful, and have a conversation. Let's challenge our processes as well within an organization. We all make and can make each other's lives better every day by doing these little bits.
Excellent, excellent. And the video you refer to can be found on the internet, is that correct?
Absolutely. And it's only 5 minutes. If you go on YouTube, type out Drew Dudley and TED Talk, you will easily find the clip. I encourage it.
Great, great. I encourage it too. And we'll put the link with the podcast info together when we post it. So dear listeners, do look at the video and I'm sure you'll find it very interesting and enriching. Great, Michelle. Let me ask you. We've now learned a lot about DEI and how to integrate it into companies and the daily processes and the human interactions. But if our listeners were to take three core things from our conversation today, what would you want them to focus on?
Three things. Use a data-driven approach. We all have biases and myths, and data busts those myths, and it really helps us prioritize on the areas that are truly most impactful. My second would be create a longer-term strategy that is aligned to the business strategy based on that data that you have just looked at. We won't change anything with those one-off ad hoc initiatives. And then the third is change does begin with each of us. So whatever your role is, you have a part to play to stand up for yourself and for others. So do go ahead and make that difference.
Great. Thank you very much, Michelle, for your time, for being with us today and for your insights. And it seems like there's still a lot for all of us to do. So let's get started, I would say. It was great to have you here. I can imagine that many people out there now have a better idea of what DEI encompasses and how it plays a vital part in making any workplace a more inclusive place.
Well, thank you for having me. Really appreciate it and look forward to hearing more on the progress that's been made by our listeners.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you have any questions about DEI and how to run and implement such projects successfully, please feel free to email us at marketing.de@mercer.com. We thank you for listening and say tschüss. See you next time.